I was telling the choir we had a lot of hoedown music this morning there. I tried to split that up a little bit, but it's kind of the way that worked out this morning. All right, take your Bibles, if you will, please. Appreciate you being here this morning. And turn to Jeremiah chapter 9. Jeremiah, one of the major prophets. Psalms, Proverbs, Ecclesiastes, Song of Solomon, Isaiah, Jeremiah 9. Jeremiah chapter 9. I was hearing somebody preach and kind of brought this passage to my attention again. And I could do exactly what they did, but I thought this is something we need to hear. Jeremiah chapter 9. Appreciate you being here this morning. Verse number 17. Jeremiah chapter 9, verse number 17. This passage was written by Jeremiah around 622 B.C. The captivity of Judah occurred around 586 B.C. Now, of course, you're thinking backwards in numbers-wise. So Jeremiah is pronouncing the state of the hearts of the people of Judah about 36 years before the fall of Jerusalem. So they're about a generation or so when he writes this from total destruction. All along here, in fact, in chapter 3, Jeremiah reminds Judah and Jerusalem, the capital city of the Judah area there, of Israel, that God is very willing to take them back. In fact, in that passage in chapter 3, he kind of likens Jerusalem to a woman who's been playing a harlot. And he says, but you know what? I want you back. I want you back. And, you know, sometimes we kind of go off in the world and do our own little thing, and I know there's folks who will say, well, you know, I don't know whether God wants me back. Yes, he does. He wants you back. Well, I blew it too many times. How can you blow it too many times when his mercy endures forever? If you're willing to come back, he's willing to take you. So the question is not whether God will take them back, but whether they are willing to swallow their pride and come back. And so we come to the passage here in chapter 9, and he's trying to show them some things. And the fact is, the things he's going to show in their life are not bad. They're not bad, but they've taken over their lives. Here we go. In chapter 9 of Jeremiah, verse 17 says, "Thus saith the Lord of hosts, consider ye and call for the mourning women." When I talked about the M-O-U-R, the crying, the weeping, "that they may come and send for cunning women, that they may come, and let them make haste, hurry up, and take up a wailing for us, that our eyes may run down with tears and our eyelids gush out with waters." He says, you want something to cry about, here's something you need to be crying about. Here's something you need to be weeping over. "For a voice of wailing is heard out of Zion," verse 19. "How are we spoiled? We are greatly confounded because we have forsaken the land, because our dwellings have cast us out. Yet hear the word of the Lord, O ye women, and let your ear receive the word of his mouth, and teach your daughters wailing, and every one of her neighbor lamentation. For death has come up into our windows and has entered into our palaces to cut off the children from without and the young men from the streets." Now, let's just say this. There's a lot of violence. The world is all wrapped up in itself. We were talking about this in Sunday school this morning. The Bible says, only by pride cometh contention. And we get proud, all of a sudden there is contention. And contention can get out of control. It goes into violence. We want what we want, what we want. And he says, and of course the women are weeping and saying, you know, we've got folks being killed in the streets. We've got the young men, the children. It's just awful, the violence. "Speak thus, saith the Lord, even the carcasses of men shall fall as dung upon the open field, as a handful after the harvestmen, and none shall gather them." So it's going to become so bad that people are going to be dying in the streets and not only have enough folks to clean up the bodies and bury them. Now, this is interesting, the next two verses. Here's the reasoning. Here's the reason why we're having so much trouble. It says, thus saith the Lord, let not the wise man glory in his wisdom, neither let the mighty man glory in his might. Let not the rich man glory in his riches, but let him that glorieth glory in this, that he understandeth and knoweth me, that I am the Lord, which exercise loving kindness, judgment, and righteousness in the earth. For in these things delight, I delight, saith the Lord. Behold, the days come, saith the Lord, that I will punish all them, watch, which are circumcised with the uncircumcised, Egypt and Judah. Notice he's putting those all in the same breath. Egypt and Judah and Edom, puts them right in the middle of all that. And the children of Ammon and Moab, they were the boys that came from the incestual relationship between Lot and his daughters. He said they were just known for being a mess. So he puts Judah right in the middle of the whole bunch of them. It says, all that are in the utmost corners that dwell in the wilderness, for all these nations are uncircumcised, and all the house of Israel are uncircumcised in the heart. Let's pray, and we're going to talk about the crowning glory of life. The crowning glory of life. Let's pray. Father, we thank you for your word. We thank you for your love and your loving kindness, your mercy. Thank you, you're willing to take us back. And no matter where we are, and Lord, we may not be very far away, but we sometimes need to realize what we've done and come back. And Lord, we thank you that you want to know us. Think about that. It amazes me. The God of the universe wants to know who I am. Cares what's going on in my life. Cares of whether I live or die. Cares whether my life is being blessed or not. Cares what my children, what's going on in my children's life, my grandchildren's life. You care what's going on in this church. Lord, I just thank you that you want to know us. And that we can certainly glory in the fact that we know you. Now, Lord, I pray you just speak to hearts here this morning. Be one here that doesn't know Christ as their Savior, whether they've been here once or many times, whether they've been in church all their life or never before in their life. Lord, I pray that you'll speak to hearts. May we realize the greatest glory of all the life is knowing you. Thank you for speaking to us, Lord. We ask in Christ's name. Amen. Before I do the message, I want to remind you that it wasn't a bulletin. The funeral service for Art Adair, we didn't have that in there last week, probably should have had that in there. It's going to be this Saturday at 1:30, and it's a graveside service at the Red Lion Cemetery down in Red Lion area there. So that's this Saturday at 1:30. Men love to get the glory. You see the old phrase, no guts, no glory. That kind of good stuff. He who dies with the most toys wins. My question is, when you lay your head on your pillow for the last time, when you lay your head on your pillow for the last time, what do you want to be able to say about your life? What will you glory in? What will you glory in? The Laodicean church in Revelation is much the same as what we've talked about here in Jeremiah. I mean, this was before the captivity. The Laodicean church, and some feel like that's probably the last church before the rapture and the second coming of Christ. And that's possible that we're in that church. They certainly resemble that church. It says in Revelation 3:17, because thou sayest, I am rich and increased with goods and have need of nothing, and knowest not that thou art wretched and miserable and poor and blind and naked, I counsel thee to buy of me gold tried in fire, that thou mayest be rich, and white raiment, that thou mayest be clothed, and that thou the shame of the nakedness do not appear, and anoint thine eyes with eye salve, that thou mayest see. He said, something's wrong. We're not looking at this the right way. We're kind of confused. It says, as many as I love, I rebuke and chasten. Be zealous, therefore, and repent. So he said, I know you don't, there's some things going on you don't like, but he said, I've been trying to get your attention. Behold, I stand at the door and knock. If any man hear my voice and open the door, I will come into him and will sup with him and he with me. To him that overcometh will I grant to sit with me in my throne, even as I also overcome and sit down with my Father in his throne. And he that hath ear, let him hear what the Spirit saith unto the churches. If you want to hear this, he said, you'll understand it. I want you to listen to it. 1 John 5:5 said, who is he that overcometh the world, but he that believeth that Jesus is the Son of God? Revelation 12:10 says, and I heard a loud voice saying in heaven, now has come salvation and strength and kingdom of our God and the power of his Christ, for the accuser of our brethren is cast down, which accused them before our God day and night. And they overcame him by the blood of the Lamb and by the word of their testimony, and they loved not their lives unto death. It sounds strange, but a lot of times it's the blessings we have to overcome. God blesses us in many wonderful ways, but it's very easy for us to get into the wrong focus. First thing I want to say, number one, is that people can be full of self. People can be full of self. Look at verse 23, back in Jeremiah 9. He says, thus saith the Lord, let not the wise man glory in his wisdom, neither let the mighty man glory in his might, let not the rich man glory in his riches. Now, what they're saying is that they're swimming in the blessings of God. They're swimming in the blessings of God. They have it all. They're satisfied with the state of affairs. They feel wise. They feel strong. They feel wealthy. They're satisfied with the state of affairs. Watch this. They've come to the point where he says, listen, what are your glory? He says, listen, don't glory in your wisdom. Don't glory in your might. Don't be glorying in your wealth, your riches. See, they're worshiping the blessings instead of the blessor. They've got their eyes on what they can get, not with the relationship, the one who's giving it to them. They are blessed with blessings, but watch. The blessings will never satisfy. They're blessed with the blessings, but their blessings will never satisfy. Do you ever buy a car, and then the next year that comes out, it's got a bunch of gadgets on that yours doesn't have? If you just waited 6 months, I could have had one like that. You know what I mean. You know, I should have. Have you ever noticed how the lines all line up when the new phones come out? Sometimes they say they stretch out the malls and around because they got to get the latest one right now. And I'm not upset with you if you did that, but the fact is, it's going to be obsolete in 3 months. And you're going to say, man, I wish I just waited until before I signed this contract and paid $500 for my phone. We always want more when our goal in life is the world. We always want more when our goal in life is the world. James 4:1 says, from whence come wars and fightings among you? Come they not hence, even of your lust, that war in your members? Ye lust, and ye have not. Ye kill, desire to have, and cannot obtain. Ye fight, and ye war, yet ye have not, because ye ask not. He said, why are we fighting? Why are we having all those trouble? Why are we having wars? Because we want more. We got this land, but we want that land. Listen, it's who we are. Go over to the nursery. If they saw it, it's mine. If I ever touched it, it's mine. If I had it before you came in the room, it's mine. If you set it down, it's mine. Mine. You want it all. You know what he says? He's saying there in James, he says, listen, we're all worried about getting the world, but what you need is the Lord. He says, you have not because you ask not. The relationship, Listen, we will not want any good thing. Delight thyself also, Lord, shall give you the desires of thy heart. He says, ye ask and receive. Well, I prayed. He says, ye ask and receive not because ye ask amiss, that ye may consume it upon your lust. You just want to have. You don't really need it. We just want it. He says, ye adulterers and adulteresses, know ye not that friendship of the world is enmity with God? Whosoever therefore be a friend of the world is the enemy of God. So I'd rather have the world than God. That's what they're saying. I'd rather have the things, even if I have to sacrifice my relationship. Now, ladies, if your husband's in the basketball, March, you become a single mother or whatever. You know what I mean? You're all on your own. If they're in NASCAR, man, when Daytona hits, it's all over till it's all done, right? You're a weekend widow. We get consumed. You say, well, that's, you know what, fact is, sometimes I think he likes that more than he likes me, and that shouldn't be. And it shouldn't be that we like the world more than we like our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. He says, do you think that the Scripture saith in vain, the Spirit dwelleth in us, lusteth to envy? We're one with the God, and we're pretending as if he's not even, we're living as if he's not even there. We're so worried about all the stuff the world has. But it says, but he giveth more grace, wherefore he saith, God resisteth the proud, but giveth grace unto the humble. Submit yourselves therefore to God, resist the devil, and he'll flee from you. Draw nigh to God, he will draw nigh to you. Cleanse your hands, ye sinners, purify your hearts, ye double-minded. Be afflicted and mourn and weep. That's what he said to these ladies here. He said, listen, we ought to mourn and we ought to weep over this. We're losing the real thing. We're losing the real treasure. Be afflicted and mourn and weep. Let your laughter be turned to mourning and your joy to heaviness. Humble yourselves in the sight of the Lord and he shall lift you up. Listen, they were focused on being one with the blessings. Let me say that again. They were focused on being one with the blessings. They were glorying in their wisdom, glorying in their might, glorying in their riches. Now, When I was going through high school, I was a musician. I still sort of am, and I liked being in all this stuff. And I said something to my Sunday school class this morning. I used to sing in a Southern gospel country bluegrass group, and I played a little mandolin and a little guitar and sang. Thank you very much. And we enjoyed it. And you know how guys get into things. You know, some guys have a shop. And you can never have too many power tools. In fact, you just kind of like them kind of hanging around. You may never use them, but they sure look good. You know what I mean? And I was the same way. I like to, I had a whole bunch of things in my room. I kind of like to sit in there, and I had my Gibson ES-335 over here, and I had my ES-135 over here, and I had my Lorenzo acoustic over here, and I had my banjo sitting here, and I had I knew one song in the banjo, I had my mandolin here, and used to hang up in our first house. Even when we first got married, I had a bunch of the instruments hanging around, and just kind of like to sit there and soak and just kind of be surrounded by them. Be one. I'm saying? Sometimes we can do the same thing in our jobs. We become one with what it is that we're doing. In fact, frankly, ladies, there is a certain thing you got to understand. Man can only think of one thing at a time. Ladies can think of many things. Man can only think of one thing at a time. So it is hard. But sometimes we got to put that drawer shut, guys. Push that drawer shut and think about something that's more important than that. It says they're focused on being one with the most blessings, the most educated, the strongest, and the most beautiful, the wealthiest, or the one with the most whatevers. And they're worshiping and serving the creations rather than the Creator. Second thought. First of all, people are full of self. Number two, when our hearts are in this position, we are no different and no better than the rest of the world. Go down to the bottom of our passage at verse 25. Jeremiah 9:25 says, behold, the days come, saith the Lord, that I will punish all them which are circumcised with the uncircumcised. So, well, what's it talking about there? Well, of course, you know the Abraham, the sign was he was the circumcised, all the males at 8 days old. And so that was a sign that they were set apart from the rest of the world. And they were God's people. And then there's the rest of the world. There's Jew and Gentile. There's God's people and the rest of us. And they were saying, well, you know what? We're the religious people. We're the ones that's, you know, God and I are just like this. You know, now you ought to go out there. And I'll tell you what, all those folks out there, yeah, you ought to get on them, God, out there. I mean, they're a mess. You know what? Sometimes religious people like us like to hear good preaching against things that everything else that the world's doing, but not what we're doing. Amen, preacher. Tell them that stuff, you know, and then we get on where it starts to mess up on our own shoes. All of a sudden, it gets real quiet. He says, "You know what? The day is going to come when I'm going to punish the whole bunch of you, us." He says, "Yeah. You see, you're glorying in your wisdom, your education." Boy, he says, "You think you're hot shots? You're glorying in your might. You're glorying in your riches. That's your love. The love of your life are these things." He says, "You're no different than the rest of the world." Verse 26 says, "Egypt and Judah and Edom." Now, Egypt, you know, that was a bunch that kept them in captivity. They're bad. Well, if you go back and read through the prophets and so forth, you see Edom. They actually got tickled to death when Jerusalem and when the upper 10 tribes were being taken out and dispersed. Oh, Edom, they just thought that was great. By the way, that came from Esau. Israel came from Jacob, the twin brothers. And then he's got Ammon and Moab, and that was those boys from Lot. He says, and he groups Judah right in the middle of all that. And all that are in the utmost corners, that dwell in the wilderness, for all these nations are uncircumcised, and all the house of Israel uncircumcised in the heart. He says, "It's your heart I'm looking for. It's your heart I'm looking for." Listen, watch. Just because we were born in America, it doesn't make a difference. We think, well, God's going to bless us. We were born in America. We're Christian America. Our president said we're no longer Christian America. In fact, I think he said we never were. Just because our families have been religious over the years, it doesn't make the difference. What do we glory in? The difference is whether we seek the Lord or not. God's not willing that any should perish, circumcised or not, religious or not, showing themselves to be some kind of holier than thou or not. Listen, when we are no different than the rest of the world, we can expect God to treat us like the rest of the world. It is not who we are associated with or who we once were, but who we are in our own hearts, who we are. You know, God hasn't changed the playing field. He hasn't changed the rules. The things that used to make him upset still do. It may not make the rest of the world upset. So we used to think, well, it's only wrong if everybody else is up against me. But if they're not against me, then it's okay. No. There was a time when people looked at the Word of God and they feared God and they wanted to be on the right side, on the same side as God. And so what God hated, they hated. What God liked, they liked. And by the way, there's nothing wrong with that. But now that the world has gone further and further, and they love their education, their wisdom, their wealth, their power, authority, strength, and we have gradually eased into it. I want you to see what the glory, what the world glories in. Number three, the glory of the world. Verse 23, go back to it. It says, "Thus saith the Lord, let not the wise man glory in his wisdom." He says, You ever see one of those commercials? Don't let this happen to you. That's really what it says, let not. Don't let this happen to you. Don't, it says, let not the wise man glory in his wisdom. That word glory there means the kind of what you would, you know, it's the, you made the good football. You know, that's kind of hoot and holler. This is where we are. We did a good job. We ought to be glad about it. It says, let not them glory. That means to shine about, to make a show, to boast, to celebrate, to make much of. His shining glory. What is it? He says, let not the wise man, and he says he's wise. Now, by the way, the Bible says you ought to get wisdom. Wisdom is the principal thing. There's nothing wrong with being wise. There's nothing wrong with being educated. I are educated. He said, let not him glory in the wisdom, neither let the mighty man glory in his might, let not the rich man glory in his riches. You see, because he says, verse 26, he says there, there we go. He says, Egypt and Judah and Edom and the children of Ammonite, Moab, all those folks, that's what they're the uncircumcised. That's what they glory in. This is what the world seeks. 1 John 2:14, I've written unto you, fathers, because ye have known him that is from the beginning. I've written unto you, young men, because you're strong, and the word of God abideth in you, and ye have overcome the wicked one. He says, all right. He said, you've got good things going on. I've written unto you because things are happening. But wait a minute. Next verse, he says, love not the world, neither the things that are in the world. If any man love the world, the love of the Father is not in him. So what's that mean? You don't have a love for the Father in you. If you love, watch, if you don't have, if I were to love another woman, then I don't have the love of Janet in me. That's what he's saying there. I should have only the love of Janet in me when it comes to a woman. He says, if you've got the love of the Father in you, you're not going to have the love of the world in you. But if you've got the love of the world in you, you don't have the love of the Father in you. He says, if any man love the world, the love of the Father is not in him. Verse 6 of that passage. For all that is in the world, the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, and the pride of life, is not of the Father, but it's of the world. So how can you say you're loving the Father when those kind of things aren't in the Father? That's not part of who he is. It's not of the Father, but is of the world. So you're loving what the world can give to you rather than what God can give to you. It says, the world passed away and the lust thereof, and he that doeth the will of God abideth forever. In other words, what you are loving, if you're loving the world, is a big bunch of nothing that will eventually be gone. But a relationship with God is never a waste of time because it lasts forever. My wife always says, you know, whenever our appliance goes down, she says, I don't understand. You buy it once, it's supposed to last for the rest of the time you're alive. Now, actually, my grandmother had a refrigerator that she bought when my uncle, I don't know how old Uncle Trace is, but he's, what, 70, a couple years old, I guess, when he was like 5 years old. They finally got rid of the ice box, the little ice box, and got a refrigerator. And the man was bringing it down the lane to the farmhouse, and he, this five-year-old, said, we're going to have ice cubes for dinner. And they had a Frigidaire. They didn't call it a Frigidaire. They didn't call it the refrigerator. It was the Frigidaire. The Frigidaire. There was all. She had a Frigidaire refrigerator until she died. 80-some years old. It was the same refrigerator. It didn't change. It just kept on running. And you would think, you know, it'd be a wonderful thing. You buy something that's going to last forever. It doesn't really do that. The fact is, it's finally gone. No, listen, it may last our lifetime, but it's not going to last forever. But the relationship we build with God lasts forever. Somebody dented my Chrysler. Wasn't big, but it was one of those parking lot dents. Little black spot. But you know, I had the clear coat came off my fender on the top. That went, I don't know what happened there. It looked like somebody did something. Had to get the front end fixed. Every time one of our mongrels, clunk, 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 something was in there loose and ball joints. Nice car. I remember the day I bought it. Not brand new, but it was just like brand new. But don't glory in it. It's going to be gone. Sooner or later, it'll be gone. When I lay my head on my pillow the last time, and I'm seeing where I'm about ready to move to the other side, what are we going to glory in? The glory boasts in all that it has. The world boasts in its wisdom. Now think about a couple things here. It boasts in its intelligence, its education, its intellectual superiority. It's tech savvy. I'm not. I had to do something. We had some, I don't know what issue what it was, and I was talking to the lady behind the customer care counter, and she said, "Well, just I had a picture of a thing that I was this sofa we were having trouble with." She said, "Well, just send it me email to me." I said, "Here, you do it." I don't know how to do it. We're business savvy. We're up on all the latest things. And all that will be obsolete in a few months. Watch. We boast in our wisdom. We know all the baseball stats. We can put together a fantasy team like nobody else. We know we've got it all figured out. We know what the latest fashion trends are. And this is what you need to know if you're going to make it in the world. Some people's lives are consumed with this. Consumed. I'm not saying you shouldn't know what's going on, have them be educated, and you know, be able to have to live in this world. I'm all for that. But it's all to help us do what God has called us to do, to live for Him. Some of them glory in their might. That means physical force, stamina, buff. I decided a few years ago I'm going to get in shape. Round is a shape. Along with this would be force, power, authority. But, you know, I'm going to get my body in tip-top shape. Sometimes, watch me. People are obsessed with the physical beauty. Proverbs 31 says that beauty is vain. Now, some of us just have it. There's nothing you can do about it. It's a curse. But we got to be careful. We glory in these things and we think we've hit it. We get some compliments. Somebody pats us on the back. And all of a sudden says, "This is life. I will be somebody." It says, glory not in your wisdom. Glory not in your might. Glory not in your riches, but glory in this, that thou knowest and understandest the Lord. Riches. The accumulation of wealth, things. And along with that kind of comes position and social status. You got possession, you got houses and lands. Listen, some people buy up lands all their lives just so someone else has to sell them when they die. Accumulate things. And what I don't want to sell, I don't want to lose my money. But there, the fact is, if we're not careful, there are weights that keep us from being able to serve the Lord. I'm a Walsh. We collect. We were laughing about this. Where was it? At Doc's funeral. Weren't we? Not Doc. My Doc. You're still here, Doc. I have a cousin that we named Doc. And we were all sitting around the table and talking about the Walshes. And they're all collectors. This, that. I don't know, just what you do. Cars, vehicles, all sorts of things. Boats. We get a place at the shore. Watch this. We know what we worship by what we sacrifice our time and our energy and our finances to. That's what we worship. What we sacrifice our time and our energy and finances. All these things, wisdom, might, riches, came from God. Sounds like to me, maybe we ought to just be good friends with God. And He knows just how much of each of these that we should have to serve His purpose on this earth, so that we can stand before Him one day and have Him say, "Well done, thou good and faithful servant." It's not wrong to have these things, but seek God and He will give you all these things. I'm not going to go into it right now, but you go back and read sometime Deuteronomy 8, 10 through 20, and Proverbs 3, 1 through 16, all thy ways acknowledge Him. He shall give you, He'll direct your paths. Proverbs 8, 17 says, I love them that love me, and those that seek me early shall find me. Riches and honor are with me, yea, durable riches and righteousness. My fruit is better than gold, yea, than fine gold, and my revenue than choice silver. I lead in the way of righteousness in the midst of the paths of judgment, that I may cause those that love me to inherit substance, and I will fill their treasures. Now, He's not going to make you rich. Well, He might, if you can handle it. But He's going to give you everything He can trust you with and everything you need. Number four, we saw the glory of the world. Now, I want you to see the crown of life. Number four, the ultimate goal in life. Now, listen to me. The ultimate goal in life is to know the Lord. That is what we were born for. God has put a God-sized hole in every heart that only God can fill. And when you fail to allow Him to fill that space, you can have done everything you want. You go back and read the book of Ecclesiastes. It's all vanity. The whole duty of man is to fear God and keep His commandments. Find out what He wants. That's the whole duty of man. Look at verse 24, Jeremiah 9:24, back our passage. But let him that glorieth, glory in this, that he understandeth and knoweth me, that I am the Lord, which exercise works at, when it says, which exercise loving kindness, judgment, and righteousness. Now listen, it's not wrong to have things. It's not wrong to have an education. It's not wrong to keep yourself in good shape. And round is not really the best shape. It's not wrong to be in good shape. But the fact is, when it's all said and done, the glory that he knoweth him, because that's where he says, I bring righteousness. I bring durable riches, that we just said. He said, listen, with me, I exercise the works at making it happen. He exercises loving kindness, judgment, and righteousness. For in these things I delight. It pleases him. He has a natural inclination, saith the Lord. The glory, watch, I'm going to show you the glory of a circumcised heart. Look what it says. One who has allowed God to take over his life. What is controlling your life? What controls your life? What are you obsessed with? He says, understands the Lord. Glory is that he understands the Lord. That word understand means to be circumspect about. It means to be instructed in. An expert in, to understand and watch, and behave one's self accordingly. Understand, I know what he wants, I'm going to do what he wants me to do. I understand him. So I understand what the Lord wants. Watch me. Are you diligently trying to understand the Lord? Do you make understanding the Lord a priority? I remember when I was about 10 years old, my mom got saved. Let's see. She was about 27. Yeah, that's about right. No. She was older than that, 37. Yeah, she was about 37. And she got saved when she was 37. And I'll tell you what, I get up in the morning, she'd be down at the kitchen table with her Bible open. She listened to Dr. J. Vernon McGee, and she got all his little books. And by the way, you can still get them. It wouldn't hurt you a bit to get them. And she got those things, and she'd go through her Bible and her J. Vernon McGee thing. And she just, and when I come home from school, she's got the radio on, or she had her Bible out. She was doing it, but she had doing things. I get ready to go to bed at night. She'd already cleaned up the kitchen plates and on in the kitchen and so forth, and the dinner dishes. And there she is out there. She ate it up. And the fact is, it has carried her through the rest of her life. She decided, not that her goal was to be that expert in God. But let me ask you, it would be a nice idea to kind of aim that direction. Are you an expert in God? Do you understand the Lord? That sounds like work. You know what? We're experts in so many things and theologically illiterate. Theology is the study of God, by the way. We're theologically illiterate. We know all about our favorite ball team. We know all about the celebrities. We know all about the latest electronics or the cars or the trucks or all that will be obsolete in a matter of months, and we are ignorant of God who's going to last forever. Do you understand the Lord well enough to behave yourself accordingly? We know how to dress like the latest starlet in Hollywood who's leaving her husband, that is if she's actually married. We know all the latest video games and how to get to the next level, but we're still babes in Christ who need milk instead of meat and then wonder why we're not strong enough to face life. He says, these two things glory, that you understand the Lord, and he says, and knows the Lord. Having studied to know what corresponds with him, to know what is normal for him, to know what is typical for the Lord, to be able to distinguish the hand of the Lord when you see it. Boy, I tell you what, many folks have no idea when the Lord is leading them. Give me the pulpit here for a second, and we'll switch this. Listen, they don't know whether the Lord's leading them or God's leading them. Now, I'm going to say this, and I've said this before. The Lord hears your prayer, but I'll tell you what, Satan's eavesdropping. And you pray for something, and I'll tell you what, he'll come up with his own little thing, and he'll slide it in there to make it look good. When Saul, King Saul, was chasing after David, because he was afraid that David was going to take his crown, which it was a done deal, because God already said so. You know what he did? He says, I'll give David my daughter, Michal. She'll be a thorn in his side. It looked like a gift. But he was going to say it's going to take him down. Old Satan does the same thing. He'll look like he's giving you something that's really worth something great. And the fact is, he's setting us up for a fall. If it satisfies our lusts, we think it's from God. Many folks pray and Satan's answering. They don't know the Lord. The rich man is wise in his own conceit, but the poor that hath understanding searcheth him out. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom, and the knowledge of the holy is understanding. Do you know him? Well, I don't know if I could love my husband. I don't know if I could love my wife. I don't know if I can love. He that loveth is born of God and knoweth God. Glory in this, that I know the Lord. He is the Lord. Do we realize that the Lord is God? People have attributed the attributes of man to God. They think he's just like us. He's not. If I was God, I would do this. I must not be God. Because he's not doing what I would think. You know what I'm saying? People do that all the time. They throw their wisdom on God. And when it doesn't happen the way they thought, well, God must be wrong. His ways are higher than our ways. His thoughts are higher than our thoughts. We didn't know who he is. We think we're so smart. Isaiah 55, 6 says, seek ye the Lord while he may be found. Call upon him while he is near. Let the wicked forsake his way. The unrighteous man forsake his thoughts, and let him return unto the Lord, and he will have mercy upon him and to our God, for he will abundantly pardon. For my thoughts are not your thoughts, neither are my ways your ways, saith the Lord. For as the heavens are higher than the earth, so are my ways higher than your ways, and my thoughts than your thoughts. His actions, watch, he says it there. His actions are loving kindness. Verse 24. Is that right? Loving kindness, judgment, righteousness. He loves to show kindness, favor, mercy, judgment. One who makes the right and the fair and equitable verdicts. God is never biased. He's never respecter of persons. He's never persuaded to do wrong. God is always true, and he's righteous and just and virtue. All right, we're done. Thus saith the Lord, let not the wise man, and he's wise, glory in his wisdom. Don't shine about, make a big to-do about the wisdom. Didn't say don't have it. But that's not all life is about. Neither let the mighty man glory in his might. And let not the rich man glory in his riches. But let him that glorieth glory in this, that he understandeth and knoweth me, that I am the Lord, which exercise loving kindness, judgment, and righteousness in the earth. For in these things I delight, saith the Lord. Where is your glory? That's my question. Where is your glory? Some people glory in their education and how smart and superior they are compared to others. Some glory in their physical strength. Some glory in their position in society. Some in how much money they have saved up or how much money they're going to throw around. How many things they have. How many homes. How many collectibles. How high class they can live. Listen, it's the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, and the pride of life. All these things are gone as soon as we breathe our last. Go back and read Psalm 49 sometime. It says, you know what? We're all going to die. We even call our lands after ourselves. Like we're going to be here to enjoy forever. Glory in knowing God. Not bragging, but making much of it and our priority. People think that they have hope. We're talking about hope. People think they have hope because they have wisdom. It's going to be okay because I've got my education. Or I'm really smart, got street cred. They think they have hope because they have power. Or they think they have hope because they got enough money. Listen, money flies away. We have hope because we have the Lord. That's something to shout about. What do you think you will glory in when you're ready to leave the earth? When you're ready to leave the earth, what is it you think is really going to be your priority, your glory? That is what we need to make our priority right now. Wealth flies away. Education can become obsolete. How many people were here were taught to type on a typewriter? Yeah, I was supposed to be taught. I went to class. I learned to make things happen because God put me in the dispensation of the backspace button. Amen. Do it again. Beauty fades, but the Lord is forever. Father, thank you for speaking to our hearts here this morning. Thank you for doing a work. We thank you for the wisdom you allow us to have. We thank you for the might you allow us to have. We thank you for the wealth, the riches you allow us to have. And yet, Lord, you're the giver of all those things. Every good and precious gift comes from the Father. Light comes from above, from you. Thank you for the way you provide for us. And yet, Lord, forgive us when we cheat on you with the things you've given us. when we allow our heart to become cold toward you and open to all the things that the world shows and gives. Lord, I just pray that you'll help us to realize that the real treasure in life, the real thing to make our priority, the thing to glory about is just knowing you, understanding you, having that relationship with you. Lord, speak to us. Our heads are bowed, our eyes are closed, the piano organ's going to play. Let's stand to our feet. Lord, spoken to your heart, would you come? Where's your glory this morning?